Mini episode 54 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by DOU Productions, delivering coverage of sports and pop culture through columns, live blogs, and original videos. Follow them on the web at generationshatter.blogspot.com.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Quick precursor note, we were actually producing this segment while news was breaking of the Chris Paul trade to the Clippers. That's why this conversation appears to take place in a parallel universe where CP3 was still with the Hornets. On with the show. All right, breaking down the NBA here on this mini episode of the FDH Lounge. Rick Morris, Kyle Ross, your FDH Lounge dignitaries here, getting this going. It's our NBA preview. We'll also be talking a little bit of Chris Paul controversy on here. Methinks that probably Kyle's point of view on that is going to be a little bit different than what Bob Glassman and I said in mini episode 49, when we were all for everything that Dan Gilbert was saying. A lot of rah-rah, sis-boom-bah, but I guess, you know what, we might as well just lead off with that before we even get to the landscape. Why don't we just take a look at that, Kyle, and see. I know that you are standing in opposition to my firm principled defense of Dan Gilbert and his firm principled attack on the status quo of the 1% in the NBA.
What's so funny is how it's like the Tim Tebow debate we had in the NFL where you're so surprised. But here's the thing. Okay. I don't even need to listen to what you and Bob Glassman said the other day to know that you're both wrong.
Okay.
And do you know what? Do you know why?
Why?
I have. How old's the NBA now? What is it? It turned 50 a long time ago, so it's close to being 75 probably right now.
Yeah, somewhere in there.
It's always been about the top 1%, Ricky. There's nothing new. The Dan Gilberts, the blogs, that's what's new. Okay, people whining about why can't my team compete. The Cavs had, what, 7-8 years to compete. I'm very sorry what happened to them. It wasn't right, but it happened. So now you go back to anonymity, you build through the draft, and hopefully you can be a contender again. What Dan Gilbert did, and we're going to be jumping around, I think, here a lot on this issue. Dan Gilbert screwed the New Orleans Hornets because he, I think, selfishly wants them to get the same treatment that his own franchise, the Cavs, got, where they got nothing in return. See, people complain about these superstars that, I want out of here. You know, I want out of here. I want to go to this team. People, I can't. Why do they do that? To me, I think they're doing the franchise a favor because they're at least saying, hey, you know, unlike LeBron James, who, you know, kind of like led you down the primrose path and then, you know, called a big TV special and, you know, just completely emasculated your franchise on national television.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you right now, you need to look to get rid of me. Otherwise, you will wind up with nothing and be like the Cleveland Cavaliers of 2010, 2011.
How do you regard, though, the notion, the reality?
And by the way, I want Chris Paul to be on the Chris Paul being on the Lakers does not guarantee them anything.
No.
All it guarantees, though, is that more people are going to get to watch Chris Paul.
Not if they're hollowing out their team to get him and Dwight Howard or anybody else. It certainly doesn't guarantee them anything. But the concept, the sanctity of a man's contract, I mean, this whole thing of you can trade me wherever, theoretically, but if you don't trade me to this team, you ain't going to get crap for me because I will not sign an extension with them. I will be a free agent, and all you will be getting is 1 year's rental worth of pay from me. They are dictating their future location while under an existing contract, which is actually, in a sense, worse than what LeBron did, perhaps.
Well, I'll be honest, the fan of workers' rights that I am, I'll tell you what, I say these NBA players are a little bit smarter than I think people give them credit for. But look, and I know with the NBA, they're guaranteed contracts, and you can't make the argument like you can in the NFL. Well, they can just cut them, you know, when they get hurt. I mean, that does not apply to the NBA.
Right.
But now, does the whole thing, I want to go to this team right now, is that a little bit, you know,
unseemly would be the word.
What is the drawback of that? What tangibly do you hate about Chris Paul saying, I want to go to the LA Lakers?
Chris Paul signed a contract through the end of the 2012 season
but
with the New Orleans Hornets.
But what does that matter? What does that mean to you as an NBA consumer? Okay, I understand if you were you know,
it's,
obviously
it's one-sided.
The NBA
has a, it's completely one-sided. His contract, I mean, if he were to blow out his knee, he would have to get paid for the entire season. If they could amnesty him, I guess, with that whole thing there. But even under amnesty, you still get paid. In other words, it's a thing where owners are assuming all the risks. That if a player's arse hasn't been wiped sufficiently to his credit and to his satisfaction throughout the period of time, the player has all the leverage. The scales are tilted.
Well, you can appease the player. I mean, it's your job to keep that player. And I realize that in a lot of these situations, they have tried.
We saw in Cleveland what appeasing a player, and it didn't work anyway.
It didn't work. Well, most of the moves didn't work.
Moves,
Now, I understand that what
he dictated.
St. James did sign off on all those moves. Yes, were with his.
He
stamp
forced
of
short-term thinking. Yes.
I understand.
And
that.
Then stabbed them in the back, citing a better chance to win elsewhere after he ruined the team.
Well, look, it wasn't nice what he did, but he's right. He does have a better chance to win with Miami because he doesn't have to carry the load.
After he dictated the Cavs' course of action for 7 years.
I'm not saying what he did was nice or right in a moral sense.
Right.
But I'm saying that...
You are right that after
playing with Dwayne Wade gives LeBron James a better chance to win an NBA championship than somebody who, to this point, has shown he has demonstrated a complete inability to lead a team. First of all, the whole idea... that people are like, oh, what are these stars joining up? This isn't the way it used to be in the old days. People always say,
right.
Give me an example of any NBA team where one guy just carried a franchise to a championship. Give me one example in sports where that's ever happened.
It can happen more so in the NBA.
But it never does. Yeah, Dallas was an interesting case study because they clearly had one superstar.
That's as close as it comes,
Nowitzki,
probably, yeah.
They were, I heard some stat thrown out there, they were only like the second or third team in the last, like, you know, jabillion years to win an NBA title without two all-stars. It's the way it's always been.
What about the San Antonio titles there? David Robinson was pretty much spent
by the end. Yeah, but he was David Rob. I mean, he was towards the end, you're right. But they had Tony Parker, Manu Ginobili.
Either one of those guys?
I think Manu Ginobili was great. I thought he was a real clutch player.
I mean, and that's an interesting argument about where we would put them. Would we classify
but here's
them
the thing.
As being
when
strong
hasn't
stars?
The NBA been a star-driven, couple
sure.
top 1% team-driven league? It always has been. Look at the last 30 years of the NBA.
Yeah.
Do you know how many different franchises have won the NBA championship during that time? I think it's like 9. We can do it real quick, okay?
Yeah.
Lakers, Celtics, Sixers, Pistons were the only 4 to do it in the 80s.
Right.
And the Pistons, they won it in 90, technically, the second one.
Right.
So 8 of the 10 in the 80s were two teams. Everyone always tells you how much they loved the 80s in the NBA. Oh, the Lakers, the Celtics, oh, that was so great. And people are like, well, they didn't do it like this. They weren't all joining up. Well, so what? They still had a lot of the good players. The Boston Celtics' entire front line is in the Hall of Fame.
The teams were deeper pre-expansion.
Now, that's something we can get to a point later.
Yeah.
As far as the contraction, whatnot, we can get to that later because we may actually agree on that.
Okay.
In the 90s, you had one team win it 6 times in 8 years. They would have won it 8 straight. They could have won it 9 straight if the lockout hadn't hit.
Yeah.
Okay. Again, the NBA was at its peak of popularity during that period. And that was when, in retrospect, when you look back, who was beating the Bulls during that period? You were fighting an unwinnable fight. I mean, Jordan was going to win every time.
Yeah,
okay.
Pretty much.
Okay, so the other 2 years, Houston won it twice. So during
right.
an 8-year span, you had 2 more teams. So that's 6 teams from 1980 through 1996. You had 6 franchises win the NBA championship. You've had then the Lakers, the Spurs, the Mavs have won it twice. Or no, pardon me, they won it once and the Heat won it once.
Yes.
And the Pistons won it once. Who am I missing? There have been, so the Lakers had already won, you can't double count them. There's been 8 or 9 franchises in the last 30 years. It's just the way it is, man.
Title has been passed around less than either the Bella Twins in a hot tub.
Yes.
By the same token, but here's the thing, though, and this is what Dan Gilbert is looking at. And again, if you're going to look strictly at the commerce side of it or whatever, then the question I'm going to ask is absurd. But is this something we want to aspire to? We just went through the devastation of this lockout and everything it did to the league's momentum coming off of last season. But for many people, myself included, there was the hope of a better world at the other side where it's a little bit more equitable, where it's a thing where teams are going to have a better chance to hang on to their own guys. What would make it a little bit easier, frankly, is if you strengthen the bird exemption or things like that to let teams be able to pay substantially
more. And
that
was discussed and didn't happen, yeah.
Yeah, and that's where the owners kind of argued against themselves, or at least the small market owners a little bit there, because letting the small market owners overpay, if you will, to keep those guys would have been maybe the best way all around to make this happen. But Gilbert, I agree, and I told you off air, in a basketball sense, yeah, he was wrong about New Orleans. I don't subscribe to the conspiracy theory. I think he just got it wrong as far as it not being good for them. If you look at it in the sense of a team's got to do this, or you know, or they're going to lose them at the end of the year, then they made out as well as they could have made out. Having said that, Gilbert was arguing a bigger question when he put the whole thing about the Washington Generals in his letter, because it's a thing where the status quo ante is back. We're arguing about the same crap we were arguing about in the summer of 2010 when LeBron and the cabal of players in the league who perpetrated and who quite frankly got away with player tampering over the course of this thing here, we've still got that. And Gilbert's talking about a systemic thing. Was he wrong about the specific New Orleans thing? I think he probably was, but I agree with him on the systemic issue. I think it's an illness.
Haven't there always been... It'd be one thing if the same team was always irrelevant.
Yeah.
Okay? But this is what... And again, you have to take the blinders off here if you're from Cleveland. Okay?
And I
am. The NBA... As am I. The NBA, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And I was wrong about this. I was the guy who, when people said, oh, LeBron should go to New York, you know, New York's this huge media market. And I'm sitting to myself, I'm like, look, man, we're in the era of cable TV. You know, with LeBron James on the Cavs, is there really this potential basketball, NBA basketball consumer out there who doesn't know who LeBron James is?
And you were right.
Because exactly.
You were right.
I don't think I was. The NBA was better last year, and it was because of what LeBron. And I think some of that is attributed to LeBron was a – look, he was a marketable character. You know, he says he didn't like being the villain. I wish he would have embraced it a little more. The NBA – the ratings showed the NBA did better. You know, Cleveland fan didn't want to admit it. But the NBA ratings-wise was better with LeBron James in Miami than he was in Cleveland.
Because they were polarizing. But the thing is, I mean, exactly. You and I have done these mini episodes on a number of different subjects. We've done a handful of them on pro wrestling. You and I both love pro wrestling. Here's the thing. I want my pro wrestling left to pro wrestling. I don't want to see contrived NWO crap on a basketball court. I don't want that. I don't want flat hat crap.
I want
athletic competition.
See, I don't think it was contrived.
Contrived
I thought it was
marketing crap. Bad guys, boo the bad guys, boo.
See, I think you're wrong. I think you're outsmart. I think that was what made it as good as it was. That was about as off. The Miami Heat playing the bad guys, you know, putting on the NWO t-shirts, that was more authentic than anything Vince McMahon could ever do. That's why when people, I don't get when people are like, oh, I hate this story. I'm sick of hearing about this story. Like, you know, like when we talk about NFL later, I'm sure we'll bring up this name, Tim Tebow. Mm-hmm. Tim Tebow's a phenomenal, you know, people, why would you want a good story like that to go away?
Mm-hmm.
Like, to me, you know, in August, baseball is a sport that struggles. Like, no one cares about a August game, three-game set between the Twins and Royals. There's
True.
Just no selling point.
Right.
To get people to watch, there has to be some sort of selling point, some sort of storyline in sports. Now, at the end of the day, you know, you've got to be the best team. I mean, and that was proven in the finals.
Sure.
Miami lost. But the NBA, to me, David Stern couldn't have booked it any better himself. He got the team that everyone wanted to see lose, get all the way to the last round and lose.
Yeah.
It worked out perfectly for the NBA last year. And you're right. If all of the power gets centralized among six teams, if the Knicks, the Bulls, the Lakers, Dallas, Miami have all the good players,
then it's Twins Royals in August for the rest of the league.
I don't think it could get that way because of the salary structure. You can get a couple guys like that, but haven't there always been irrelevant teams?
Sure.
Like during the 80s, I mean, there were always irrelevant teams. The way the NBA works is, look, we're going to talk about power rankings, okay?
Yeah.
I've looked at yours.
Yeah.
I'm telling you right now, there is no way that a team outside of your top tier wins the NBA Finals. All and right. It's not because Chris Paul, it's not because, it's just the way it is.
I agree with that. No, I agree with that completely. To me, that's not a good thing about the NBA, that we have it so limited to that number of teams there. I like to see continuity. And again, I'm not going to stick up for bad management. Donald Sterling should have been forced to sell the Clippers decades ago.
Well, see, now here's what's interesting, though. I was thinking about that when you were talking about something.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting to compare Donald Sterling to some of the other small market owners.
Okay.
Because he's not complaining, probably, because he turns a profit.
He does.
It's interesting the situation Donald Sterling's in right now.
Yeah.
Because he's got kind of a decent team. He's been turning a profit for years.
They're actually spending right now.
I mean, that's what it boils down to. See, you have to understand, Cleveland missed the boat. Bottom line. Okay,
right.
Blame whoever you want to blame. Blame Mike Brown. Blame a lack of, you know, support for LeBron. Blame LeBron. Blame Delonte West doing LeBron's mom. Blame what you will. The Cavs had their window, and they didn't get it.
Right.
Just like Sacramento, a legitimate small market, even though it's the capital of California. But Sacramento had their window to win an NBA
right.
championship. They didn't win it either. Oklahoma City now, small market,
right.
going to have their chance to win it. If they, it's not like these small market teams don't have a chance. It revolves. Yes, the Lakers are always good. They're the Lakers, okay? But the Celtics, they sucked for years.
That's true.
And here's the thing, too. When all the superstars were spread out,
yeah.
And granted, there weren't as many back
right.
then, okay? The last NBA lockout was mm-hmm. really bad because when they came back, a lot of the Jordan-era stars kind of retired
right.
or had just fallen off a cliff and weren't very
Pippen.
Good. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I mean, that was just a horrible perfect storm or an imperfect storm for the NBA.
Right.
There's a lot more superstars now, but to me, the NBA right now is so much better than it was when it was, you know, the San Antonio Spurs, whatever. No one watched the NBA during that when it was all about the sport. When it was San Antonio, New Jersey, those were death.
Yeah, yeah.
Those were death. The NBA doesn't want that.
No, they don't. They don't.
And the NBA is a business. And
right.
so it behooves them to have the franchises in the major markets be good. Now, I'm not saying they should cheat and help them
well,
be good.
Just nobody wants to feel like there's a thumb on the scale. I mean, that horrible Pau Gasol deal that was made a couple of years ago, when as much as I love Jerry West and appreciate what he did for the league, and I know it was Chris Wallace supposedly calling the shots there, but that had the look of Jerry West payback, that awful giveaway deal that Greg Popovich is right, should have been voided by the league. Nobody wants to see a thumb on the scale. Nobody wants to see that. And again, I come from my perspective as a lifelong Cavs fan of a small market team. Team's got Kyrie Irving now. God willing, in another year, Anthony Davis, Harrison Barnes, whoever. I don't want to feel like, oh, okay, you had your 18-month window and you didn't win a championship. I like to feel as though there's a chance for a team like that to keep it together and compete over a number of years. That's
what
I want.
They did. The Cavs had 7 years to try with LeBron James. Now, the first couple was rebuilding, but they had, I mean, they were realistically, what, his last 3 or 4 years here
yeah.
were a legitimate NBA title. Now, they kind of arrived. One of the main issues is they kind of arrived a year ahead of schedule. Detroit got really old really quick.
Right.
The Eastern Conference became wide open.
Right.
And they blasted through to the finals before they were ready. You know,
right.
They were, I'll argue, that they were better the years they didn't make the finals compared to that team that did make the finals. Substantially better.
Yes.
But, look, they were in the hunt. Unless if you are a team like the Lakers, who, by the way, did have their period where they were down. You remember that. They were down for a while in the late 90s. They were bad. Okay, they had a bet. They didn't miss the playoffs the 1 year with Kobe.
Ooh, they were only a 6 seed some years. My heart bleeds for them.
Well, what does a 6 seed mean? You're still not – I mean, you know, half these teams that are competing are complaining are 6 seeds.
Yeah.
I mean, how many teams?
They're like perennial 6 seeds.
They're
stuck in mid-card purgatory.
Well, how many teams have been, like, just at the bottom for a very – Minnesota, I guess.
Yeah.
They had that one good year with Garnett.
Yeah.
When they made it all the way to the finals and they just completely fell off a cliff.
Sacktown since the end of their run.
But how long ago was that? That wasn't that long ago in basketball.
All right, 10 years.
You know?
All right, who else?
I mean, is it that wrong for a team – look – there.
Toronto, I'm, well,
speaking
Toronto.
Speaking to a Republican, there are winners and losers, okay?
Yeah.
Is it that wrong? I'm sorry. There are going to be some occasions
Kyle, if you
where
believe
teams
in income,
suck for 10 years.
If you believe in income mobility in real life, don't you believe in income mobility in the NBA?
Yes!
Where a scrappy, smaller market team can put a roll together for several years and go in there and live the American dream in the parlance of politics.
Yes, I do.
Okay?
And yes, I do.
Then we're talking about the same thing then. That's what I want.
But the NBA is the way it is. You always have it. Oklahoma City and Memphis last year played a fantastic series. Two small market teams. A Memphis team, by the way, that everyone thinks, oh, they gave the Lakers away. They're right back. There they proved. They gave away Paul Gasol. They're right back. They're not complaining.
So in a world where Chris Paul gets to contrive mafia style to go to the Lakers
I
while he's still
put
under
it like that.
Well,
I mean,
that's
I
my unbiased
no,
way of.
Yeah, no,
putting
I mean, for crying out loud.
All right, Sopranos.
Should the new
style.
Let me just ask you this.
Yeah.
First of all, Chris Paul should, that deal was fine. Chris Paul should be on the Lakers. And here's there's two ways we're going to go with this. Number one. Okay, Chris Paul goes to the Lakers. What's so horrible about that? Should they cancel the NBA season? Should David Stern hand the Lakers the Larry O'Brien Trophy?
No.
I'm not sure the Lakers win the NBA Finals with Chris Paul. A buddy of mine said, go ahead, let them have him. I don't think they'll win at all. With that depleted front court?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Kobe's a year older. His knee, I mean, he had that controversial surgery. We don't know how good his knee's going to be.
Right.
That people, I got into an argument. I'll reference his name again because I do it every many of us. This Nick Flasher.
You're good friend.
Yeah, his basic argument was.
He's the Bob Sacramento of our show.
his basic argument. That's unbelievable. His basic argument, it works sometimes. Well, because something works sometimes, it should never be allowed.
Yeah.
Have you looked at the NFL standings recently? The Philadelphia Eagles, all those moves, all these superstars they brought in, they stink.
Right.
The Yankees, everyone always complains about the Yankees in baseball, even though they support half these idiot owners who don't know how to run a team, okay? They should be kissing the Yankees' rear end as far as I'm concerned.
Yep.
Okay? How many World Series have they won in the last 10 years? One.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Okay, baseball, and that's a different story for a different time. The World Series trophies is about as spread out in that sport, a sport where there's supposedly this great inequity, more than any other sport.
That's true.
Even more than the NFL.
That's true.
To me, and yes, it's unique because of my political perspective, but to me, sports just aren't as serious, and I just don't really – these small market – except for Minnesota, you cannot name me a team that has just sucked for 15 years.
I'm really racking my brain trying to think of one
that
proves you're wrong.
Charlotte, okay. But
yeah.
Again, that's not because of any – Charlotte does not stink because Kevin Garnett – went to Boston because LeBron went to Miami. Charlotte stinks because their war room every year is conducted on the 18th green at Sawgrass, and Michael Jordan's like, hey, who came out of North Carolina this year? Let's grab him.
Right.
Okay, that's why. Because here's my other point.
Yeah.
Okay, so should the New Orleans Hornets be contracted? Do you think so?
They probably should. They probably should.
Are there too many teams in the NBA?
Well, here's the thing. You got to contract two. Yeah, I think there probably
are. I think there are two too many teams. Because that's the thing, too. If you kill two of these teams off,
yeah,
then everyone's kind of getting a little better player. You know, depth is an issue. You know, I mean, there aren't a lot of teams that have a good, eighth or ninth man. And even the Lakers, I mean, who's the eighth man on the Lakers? The ninth guy on the Lakers? He's not that good of a player.
I understand that. But I have a theory, though. I'm not sure that the league is overstocked or is spread too thin, rather.
They have more talent now than they have, 10 years ago.
And this is why. I mean, I have a theory about this as regards all sports, that when things happen to increase the talent pool, that has a way of somehow counteracting the watered-down effects. Like in baseball, once they had integration, then they were expanding, and I don't think baseball was watered down because you had the black guys that were left in the Negro leagues, which I would argue probably constituted in some ways a third major league at that point in time.
Oh, sure.
The only difference is you're bringing them into your existing leagues. I don't think that baseball – and then baseball expanded again in the last 30 years with a couple more franchises, and people thought it was watered down. Whoa, but wait a minute. We're expanding again in Latin America. We're expanding the Pacific Rim, the talent base. In that way, was making up for it. The NBA has had this big international expansion over the last 15 years or so. And here's the thing. You mentioned the last lockout. Who was a guy who came into the league right after that lockout or right about on the heels of it, I think the season after it? Dirk Nowitzki.
Yeah.
One of the most influential players in the history of the league because, again, part of it is because of the tease of who's the next Dirk. Darko and everybody else has proved not to be. But there have been legitimately a lot of great players coming from overseas. Yao Ming when he was healthy, etc. So I'm not so sure the league's overstocked, because if we were just talking about American guys, I'd agree with you. But that's why I kind of waver on that. The talent pool is global now.
Oh, I'm not saying it isn't. I just think that there are – the NBA's expanded a little bit harder than the other sports. I mean, when you and I –
Went from 21 to 30.
Okay, well, now, I'm not a hockey expert. You know that, so I'm not even going to try to match wits with you there.
Okay.
But, I mean, to me, first of all, there should be no hockey teams south of the Mason-Dixon line, okay? I'm that guy. You talk about old school, okay? But hockey did expand way too. There's too many teams. But I don't want to offend you.
Yeah, but they've gone really huge into Europe and Russia, though. So,
true,
I mean,
but I'm not going to offend you by saying hockey's a niche sport. Okay. I just did. Okay, all right, okay. But here's the thing. Okay, to me... First of all, New Orleans is a great candidate to be contracted for a very simple reason. The NBA should not be allowed to run them, and they can't get a buyer.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, the for sale sign's been out. Hit the bricks. Get rid of Chris Paul and kill the franchise.
Conflict of interest. But here's the thing, too, though. And
that's what caused the deal not to happen. Don't tell me basketball-related issues. David Stern wants someone to buy the New Orleans Hornets.
Well,
okay?
No one
will buy the New Orleans Hornets if they don't have a sellable piece.
It's unsustainable in that market, but here's one of the things, and I can say this coming from my side of the political spectrum, what's keeping them afloat, because the minute you contract the Hornets or you move them out of town, here comes Spike Lee into New Orleans doing another film about how the honky stuck it to the people in New Orleans. Again, this is just like Katrina. This is just like the NBA does not want to look like they stuck it to the people of New Orleans, particularly, let's be honest, the urban audience, which supports the NBA disproportionately. Does the politically correct NBA want to look like they're sticking it to some people who maybe are just like 5 weeks out of living in FEMA homes? I think not. It's the perception issue.
I understand that, and it's about, but they're not being, to me, the New Orleans Hornets are not being, they're not being supportable.
They're
no
not.
One's going to the game.
Yeah.
So, if there was legitimate support there, I mean, if some of the folks you talked about there were going to these games and it was a great time and it was very uplifting, it'd be one thing, like it is with the Saints. The Saints, that's a big party. That's very, I could see if they ripped the Saints away, that's, you know, Spike Lee and, you know, his crew could go down there. But I just don't think that would be there for the Hornets. If you got rid of New Orleans and Charlotte tomorrow, and just put all their
Charlotte. I was going to say, you have to name a second one if you name New Orleans. They're not going to 29.
Okay, if you put, well, they did have 29 once upon a time. But
briefly.
Yeah. If you got rid of those two teams, put all their players on different teams, would the NBA, one, other than Chris Paul, would anyone notice?
No. And it would strengthen the league.
Everyone would get a better player on their teams, would get added depth. I mean, those teams have some okay players. To me, people also overrate superstars. Like, when a guy goes, to me, it's interesting. Like, people, Chris Bosh, I always bring him. Chris Bosh would, people criticize LeBron, couldn't carry a team by himself. Mm-hmm. Should he have been able to? Not sure. I can't answer that question.
Okay.
I can tell you right now, Chris Bosh could never carry a team to an NBA championship.
No, of course not.
Chris Bosh is the best player on your team, you're not going very far, man. Chris Bosh is a guy who should have done what he did, go with some other. Is Chris Bosh better than James Worthy all time?
No, certainly not.
Okay, well, James Worthy had, you know, Tragic Johnson, you know, Byron Scott, A.C. Green, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Right.
He was around all these good players. No, I mean, Grant, he was, again, people always think, oh, those guys were drafted. Well, if you know the history of the NBA.
Right.
The Celtics and Lakers, okay, people talk about, oh, it's not fair, they're getting these guys. They used to pull some pretty shady stuff in the draft. There used to be some.
Yeah. Larry Bird a year early.
Yeah, I mean, if you go and read, I mean, I've got, you know, sitting over there on my coffee table, the Bill Simmons book.
I've got that one, too.
Yeah, I mean, teams used to just trade these draft picks over. Like, it's funny, I always thought with the Celtic, the Len Bias, obviously, his tragic story. He was drafted number 2 in 86, okay?
Uh-huh.
I remember when I was a kid, I was like, how did the Celtics have the number 2 draft pick in the heart of the Larry Bird era?
Right.
It was like some hideous trade that was made that gave it to him.
Right.
Like, just some, I can't even remember who they made it. It was just some awful trade that if Len would have stayed alive and played and been something,
right,
it would have been like the worst trade in the history of sports.
Right.
So, to me, these top teams have always had their way of, you know, cherry picking the best players, getting the best, and it's not going to change.
Right.
But they've had their times of being bad too. The Knicks, who everyone, oh, they're getting all these players. The Knicks sucked for the last 12 years
and won't win anything for the next decade for reasons we'll talk about once we get into the thing here on the
team
by team.
Okay, they have Amari and Carmelo Anthony. Hey, let's just hand them the trophy. No, it doesn't. Miami lost last year.
Right.
To me. And so I just don't get it. Like, let's let the free market rule. Let's
right.
let Chris Paul
all right.
go.
So in summation, your attitude on Chris Paul doing what he's doing is tantamount to Bobby Knight's lay back and enjoy it because it's inevitable. That's
yes.
basically it? Okay,
yeah.
all right. By the way, too, before we get to the NBA.
Hey, when he signs with the Lakers next year and New
yeah.
Orleans has nothing?
Right.
Come crying to me.
Right. Well, before we look at the NBA power rankings and everything else like that, I'd just like to make a note here on what you said about the Bill Simmons book, and I indicated I have that also. I have that also because that was sent to us because we were supposed to get him on the show, and you remember when that book came out.
Yes.
It still hasn't happened yet, hemming and hawing, whatever. All I got to say is at SportsGuy33, if it doesn't happen, the joke's not on us because we got a free book. So if you sent us a free book and you weren't going to be booked, we're coming out ahead, actually. Yeah. I got that for free. I didn't have to pay for it. So I just thought I'd bring it around on that.
Well, as an employee of the worldwide leader, Bill Simmons is a very good friend of mine.
He's somebody you approve of.
Yes, remember, kids, leave your local blog behind. Walk straight into the coddling arms of the worldwide leader.
That's Kyle Ross for you.
Yes.